Welcome to Mangfoldsmikrofon, the podcast that explores diversity and inclusion with the perspective of creating competitive advantage. As a proud partner of the SHE Conference, Social Human Equity Conference, this collaboration supports the conference's strong vision of promoting change until all are included. I am Michelle Chinnapin, and here organizations share their experience on how they succeed with diversity and inclusion as part of their strategy across people, brands, and partners. Efe Obasa is a law student at the University of Southampton and an aspiring solicitor with corporate legal experience, extremely passionate about helping the next generation of aspiring lawyers, as well as running her own consultancy company. Efe was recognised as a top 150 UK future leader in 2022 by the Powerlist magazine, and we are lucky to have her here at the SHE Conference in Oslo, both on stage, in the studio, and here on the podcast, sharing her thoughts on impacting influential spaces and recharacterising the face of young decision makers. Efe, welcome.
Thank you.
We are at the SHE Conference.
Yes, we are.
We're sitting in a Polestar car.
I know.
Which is amazing, and it's quite quiet outside. Yes. I was so delighted to meet you yesterday properly and spend some time with you. And we talked about the difference between the Nordic and the UK,
yes.
You know, so I'm allowed to call you just FA today.
You are allowed to.
Thank you very much. It's your first time to Norway.
It is. It is my first time in Norway, yes.
And Norway greeted you very well yesterday.
It did. It was a fun time, a good time. Yeah. And going around Oslo, I thought, this is lovely.
Yes.
I've really enjoyed my time so far.
And we had rain today, so that's the best we can have for this conference.
So I've heard.
But you have, you know, I want you to say a little bit about yourself,
sure.
You know, so for the listener, where those who are at the SHE Conference today will be so privileged to be able to listen to you further. So I'm so happy about that. But why are you in Norway, and what, you know, what's your background?
Yeah,
can
sure.
You share that bit with us.
Yes. So if you can't tell already, I'm from London, England, to be specific. I am a fourth year law student. So I'm in the final year of my law degree. And outside of that, my passion really lies in empowering young people, in bridging the gap between the generations, and also ensuring that young people feel confident enough to occupy influential spaces. Mm. And really what brought me to the SHE Conference this year was to discuss diversity and inclusion within the workplace. How can we bridge the gap between employers and younger employees? How can we ensure that the workplace is beneficial to all generations? And something that I discuss a lot in my LinkedIn newsletter called The Authentic Leader is intergeneration collaboration, how each generation can come together, add value to each other's lives through things like reverse mentoring, through programs where younger employees are in a leadership program or an incubator program. So that's what's brought me here. And it really just ties in with all the passions of the different topics I discuss on my LinkedIn.
But you've got a really impressive track record to be so young, you know.
Right, right.
What, but still, you could have done a thousand other things, you know.
Yeah.
What kind of led you down this path? I mean, I'm trying to get to the background of, you know, your path and why you're passionate about this.
It really is an amalgamation of things, but I'd say one of them was growing up, I was very fortunate to have people who believed in me.
Mm.
And from an early age, they saw certain skills or characteristics that I displayed and so pushed me towards those avenues. So speaking was one of them, leadership was one of them. And through doing that, I was often involved in a lot of programs where I got to interact with employers or got to interact with people that were older than me. And they would open up my eyes to see how things work in the corporate space or what is expected in the workplace. And I think how I'm doing what I'm doing now came from a desire to let me empower other people. Mm. I've been empowered. How can I empower other people? And I've just found that I'm in this space doing what I'm doing. But a big part of the reason why I love to empower people, educate people, is because I've been a recipient of that growing up.
Yeah. So it's paying it forward.
Paying it forward, yeah. Essentially.
What do you think are the key factors of how we can work together more across generations? I mean, this isn't the first time that this topic has been discussed.
You
know,
yeah.
you read books from like
100 years ago, and that's yes. still the discussion. Mm. How is it different, and how we can work together to moving forward?
I really like the 2024 She Conference motto, listen, learn and act. Mm. And I think that listening is the first point. Actually sitting down to understand each other, not listening to just respond, but listening to see how we could potentially mirror interest or collaborate. So that's my first thing, and how generations can build together. But secondly as well, I would definitely say having decision-making spaces that incorporates a variety of generations to get different voices at the decision-making table. And there are also models like reverse mentoring,
yeah.
where a younger employee will mentor an older employee. There are so many benefits to it. And those are ways as well we can foster that intergenerational collaboration in the workplace and even outside of it as well.
Could you draw some examples? One thing is in the workplace, but it's getting access to.
Yes. Right.
So how important would that mentoring part of it be, and authentic leadership? You talk about a lot.
Yeah,
about
authentic leadership. Yeah. Well, if we're talking about outside of the workplace, intergenerational collaboration could look like a older person volunteering their time to mentor younger people within school. Or within the education space. It could also look like focus groups where young people are consulted to give their input on the different areas of society. And with authentic leadership, it's not just for a specific gender, it's for everyone. Authentic leadership is being a leader that's authentic to yourself, being a leader that's able to be adaptable. And I believe everyone should be aiming to be an authentic leader. But more importantly, the reason I talk about it a lot is within the workplace, from what I've seen, authentic leaders know how to foster a very inclusive culture because they're not leading from a place of, I want everyone to hear me, but actually they're leading from a place of how can we as a team draw our strengths together, you know, to work well together. So I'd say in the context of outside of the workplace, there are so many different ways we can foster intergeneration collaboration, even through social media. There's campaigns that I see where we have round tables of people that are older and people that are younger coming together discussing topical issues. There are so many ways we can look at it, but I'd say from moving forward, these are some of the ways we should start moving in society, fostering intergenerational collaboration, getting different varieties of groups together at tables and understanding each other. I think those are the steps we can start to make.
What do you feel are the barriers for moving forward? Because, I remember being a junior. I'm a lot older than you. I remember being a junior and working with my mentors, right?
Yes.
And I learned so much from them, but I didn't adapt and I didn't adopt their value system, right? Because that was a lot more conservative than it is today. I mean, we have generational shifts all the time.
Yes.
What are the largest barriers, do you feel, moving forward? I understand where you're coming from. And then I'm wondering if I somewhere along the way have forgotten about it, you know?
I think one of the largest barriers, at least from all the conversations happening around Gen Z or Gen Z are lazy, Gen Z are this, is with technology now. There is a huge gap between the generations within the use of technology. Older generations feel a bit out of touch with using technology or digital products, whereas Gen Z and the generations after them, we were born into it, so yeah. we know how to. So I think a good way that we could actually bridge that challenge could be, so I helped an organization, I remember, to give them some ideas on how they could work on their marketing because they felt very out of touch with it. So it could be getting younger people to help, you know, or come on board to help with things like that, social media, or to give some seminars or some workshops on how to use social media effectively in today's age. But at the same time as well, for someone like myself that's younger, I also understand the value and the experience older people have. So I'm very open to learning from them, asking questions, being inquisitive. So I'd say one of the largest barriers I'd definitely say is technology. Mm. Another barrier is people are just not listening to each other. Mm. And so that's why I believe having open spaces where we can learn from each other, being vulnerable enough to say, I don't really understand what this means. Mm. Can you explain this to me?
Yeah.
As opposed to just maybe throwing money at a cause and you're just supporting it from afar. I think we should have more open and vulnerable conversations.
That means actually from a leadership point of view, I mean, yeah. I've been the CEO, I've been leaders for different sales groups. It's still, you know, making yourself vulnerable.
Vulnerable,
right?
Yes.
So how do we do that? Because it is very, that it be, it, what you're saying is that actually it's down to that person of being personal to be able to connect, offer that safety for conversation. You know, a lot of people didn't learn this at business school. So maybe we should do a crash course. What do you think?
We could have a crash course.
I find also, sorry to interrupt you, I also find that sometimes a lot of young people who have grown up behind the digital age also sometimes lack conversational skills.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And that's the other area that, you know, I've done a lot of research into, that a lot more younger people struggle with interpersonal skills or being able to interact in person. And I think that's probably the disconnect within the workplace, at least in the UK, from what I've seen from studies. They find that they aren't able to communicate as effectively or give presentations and vice versa. So I think there is a lot of areas to work on, but things that I've seen that are working are workshops, you know, and this comes under diversity and inclusion. You could schedule time to bring in an expert to deliver a workshop or to deliver a seminar on being a vulnerable leader. That's part of authentic leadership, being able to be vulnerable. How can you be vulnerable as a leader? Getting someone to come in, or you do activity-based seminars. I think those are the ways we can do that, at least in the workplace context. I think those are the ways we should go about it, because we don't know everything.
No.
And that's why we do have experts. That's why we have people who are dedicated to their crafts that can come in and almost be a helping hand, or being able to help people understand what it is to be a vulnerable leader, or let's say to improve communication skills. Those are some of the things that I think can help.
You know, my podcast is a lot about demystifying, you know, diversity. Demystifying things. Don't not make it so complicated. Mm. You remember we spoke previously, I said what's good for our industry is not necessarily good for the cause. We don't need to complicate it.
Yes.
How can we do that? How can we demystify? I mean, I know there's been a lot of diversity and inclusion issues and discussions in the UK. Mm. We have different discussions in Norway. I mean, the discussions are not the same. The history is not the same.
Yeah.
How can we make it just easier? You know, so that companies and people just say, I mean, is this something to discuss? You know?
I think with diversity and inclusion, companies shouldn't be in a rush to commit that we, you know, pledge X amount or we pledge to do this. I think lesser when it comes to diversity and inclusion is better. Understanding what does the company want, or what does the company desire? Is it to have more diversity and inclusion in a certain area, or is it in... first of all, I'd say the first step is understanding what the diversity and inclusion, what does it mean for the company? What's the purpose? Why would you like diversity and inclusion? Then this is where I believe the generational differences and that richness comes in. When there are a range of generations, you always get a range of perspectives anyway.
Yep.
And that's when we can then start going into diversity in terms of race, in terms of gender, in terms of so many different areas. But if the company doesn't know why it wants, you know, to be diverse or why there should be inclusion, everything else just sort of falters away.
Yeah.
And I'd say the culture.
Yeah.
What's the culture of the company like? Those are ways that you can start to demystify diversity and inclusion, because it's such a word everyone throws around, DEI, and we want to have 50,000 people that are, you know, from this background. But actually, outside of all of that, what's the makeup of your current employees?
Mm.
Is there any diversity there? Have you asked, you know, the rest of your employees, what's the culture like at the company? Yeah. Those are ways we can start getting ideas about where we could plug the gaps, maybe within that company, in terms of DEI. It's
a bit more personal, Christian. No, because I had to think about what you were saying. I, you know, listen, learn, act. What kind of leader are you? Are you a young leader?
Yes.
Just to kind of amplify that. I remember when I took over as CEO, a company, a tech company, and the CEO, the former CEO, was a lot older than me.
Mm.
And I remember having a speech when I took over, and I said, I will lead my way, you know, Sounds like Frank Sinatra, but I won't be the same leader. And as I said it, I realised I don't know really what that is. What kind of leader are you?
I call myself the authentic leader. And the reason I call myself that is I'm authentically me. I carry a set of core principles and values that I like to stick, you know, to. And I want to show people you can be vulnerable, you can be open, you can be authentically yourself and still lead people. So I lead in the spheres that I, you know, I operate in. And a lot of the times what people say is, you were so authentic. Thank you for being so transparent. I think that's the type of leadership we should develop. Not everything is rosy. It's not always going to be easy. But being vulnerable enough to share that, I think, is what's so cool to be an authentic leader. I'm adaptable, but at the core of who I am, I'm very authentic. I don't like to make myself appear like some way that I'm not. I am myself, and I think that's what's allowed me to connect with so many different people. People just see that multifaceted aspect of myself and that I'm just me. And they're like, I want to follow that. So it's,
and
it's,
that is more than enough, you know, because I met you yesterday, but we'd spoken before. Definitely, like I said, I felt like I'd met you several times. So you're definitely authentic. If you could give the listener, the young listener, the old listener, the middle-aged listener, a takeaway where you're saying, what should they leave the She Conference with, and how should they find you for further?
Wow, what should you... Oh, I really like the She 2024 motto. I think that really should be the takeaway. Listening. Not listening to respond, like I said, but listen to understand. Learning. Learning in whatever context it is about that space, that industry, that topic. If it's generation, learning about the different generations and then acting. And the acting can only come from that listening and learning. But once you have learned and you have listened, do act. We need people to stand up and take charge. So I'd say that's my takeaway. Listen, learn and act. And if you'd like to connect with me further, I'm on LinkedIn, Ife Obasa, I-F-E, and my surname is O-B-A-S-A. And my website is www.ifeonetwork.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's an honor. Stay in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please share this valuable conversation and experience so we can reach those who have started their own work within diversity, inclusion and equity. If you're curious, are in the start phase of your own process or want to explore your existing work in this area, feel free to contact me. It is only by active participating in the conversation that you can contribute to change. It is only by sharing that we can shorten the time that this may take. My name is Michelle Chinnapin, and I wish to leave personal, positive footprints.